you smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump International Hotel and current residence of our universal champion, Donald J. Trump.
This is a podcast about the intersections of pro wrestling and politics. We wrote a book about that very topic called The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. I now officially know the title of our book. It just comes right
it
off.
It took about 9 months.
Yeah, it's those dependent clauses part.
You know what we should have called it?
It's all a work, baby.
That's actually a really good one. I was just going to say Great Balls of Fire, the most apt name pay-per-view. Yeah. That relates to this show. The summer pay-per-view for WCW used to be the Great American Bash. They did it in WWF or WWE at the time.
Yes.
Once or twice. And now no one's using that title, so it's ours.
So it's ours. Trademark, copyright, Great American Bash. It's Wednesday, June 28th, about 8:10 in the morning, day 159 of Donald Trump's Universal Championship reign. I think he tweeted this morning.
He did. He did tweet this morning. Yeah. I'm going to pull those up.
Yeah. Well, I've got a whole list of his tweets, which we'll get to in a little bit.
This is a good time to plug the Twitter.
Yes. So everybody follows Real Donald Trump on Twitter because it's the president. You got to know what's going on with the presidency. But it can be a real bummer.
It's super sad.
It's super sad because he doesn't know how to thread tweets. He does, instead of three dots for an ellipsis, he does like 18. It's just a mess. So you can go to twitter.com/realtrumphogan, and sometimes it'll be funny if he doesn't tweet 140 characters, because it appends brother to everything, so you can just read it in Hulk Hogan's voice, which makes it better.
Yeah, it makes it not as sad. Speaking of Hulk Hogan, really quick, this is not in the outline. Did you see Nobody Speak
yet? I have not watched it yet.
Okay. We'll get to that in future episodes. Have you binged watched all of GLOW yet?
No, I there's so much wrestling. I only watch the WWE. I'm not a wrestling fan. I'm a WWE fan. I'm a sports entertainment guy. And there's been so much of that.
So the only thing I want to mention about GLOW is I really haven't seen it capitalized yet on WWE, other than this week's main events were all women.
Yes.
That's about it, though.
Yeah, they didn't mention it, which they usually would, and we'll get to them. The WWE kind of latching on to anything that will give them publicity, bad or good. We'll get to that in a little bit. But first, it's the big show.
Well, it's a big show.
So this week, we were supposed to have, we talked about this last week, supposed to have a big healthcare vote on the Senate's repeal of Obamacare, repeal and replace, that thing they've been trying to do for years. And they blew it.
So a few things about this. Number one, we should note that it's 8:11 a.m. on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
The time matters because by the end of the day, we might actually have a date for when they're actually going to put this on the floor.
Okay.
We have no idea as of right now. Things change usually by the time we're done editing this podcast.
Yes.
Okay, so as of this morning, it's like Democrats are kind of happy because they don't have the votes. I don't know if you guys remember a few months ago when the House didn't have all those votes and then all the Democrats were real happy. And then about a month later, there was a big celebration in the Rose Garden.
Yeah. And
because they had the votes.
Yes. And to quote Pulp Fiction, let's not start sucking each other's dicks quite yet. All right. This is got a ways to go. Republicans have a habit of coming home, even if they don't have their 50 votes right now. There's a lot that could happen. There's more spending in the bill. Even the CBO score, if they rescore it, maybe it'll have less than 22 million people lose their insurance. But it's tough for them. And for once, Democrats are actually all on the same page on this.
Yeah. Do you think Vince has seen Pulp Fiction?
Yes, because remember when WrestleMania was in LA and they did all the movie entrances?
Thank you. Yes. Yes. Okay.
Well, if he didn't, he saw that and he was like, this is brilliant. We should do those at the WWE studios. Because Vince McMahon doesn't watch movies. So we'll know. Once again, we'll kick this can to next week after the 4th of July, and maybe we'll know if we have health insurance or not.
Question mark. Is this how it feels to be a WWE sports entertainer?
Yeah, you don't know from week to week. It's all in the hands of 70-year-old white men. You have no idea if your health is going to be okay or not.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Also a big week. Supreme Court ruled upheld part of Donald Trump's
This brings us yet again to @RealTrumpHogan. Now, according to Real Trump Hogan, this is a clear victory for Real Trump Hogan. It's not a clear victory. It's a clear statement that we're going to see the entire case in the fall, and part of the travel ban has been reinstated. But most of the travel ban, the stuff that would really affect the majority of people, is not affected.
Right. And the fact that he keeps calling it a travel ban could still come into play when they actually do hear the case in full.
So this is any great wrestling heel manager proclaiming the greatness of their talent. Yeah. This is any Bobby the Brain Heenan promo.
Yeah, just saying my guy's going to beat Hogan at the Great American Bash, obviously.
Yeah, he already beat Hogan. It's like, Hogan's not even wrestling.
So we will know when the bookers actually get together and decide this case, what actually happens, but that won't be told this fall.
Is that officially the analog for this? The Supreme Court or the bookers?
The booking committee? Jesus.
It's kind of good.
Yeah.
And who did Trump just install in the booking committee? He brought his own guy in.
Yeah, he gave the pencil to Gorsuch. Yeah.
Come on.
There you go. I think this is your favorite segment. We haven't been able to do it in a little while. Ugh. Chris Jericho's been off TV, and there's been no progress on this. But it's time to break the walls down.
Yes.
We are going to build a great border wall to stop illegal immigration.
Yeah, so a headline in the New York Times yesterday, Homeland Security will start building border wall prototypes this summer.
So, yes, the headline tells you the entire story. What did you respond with in emails?
Well, first I was like, the prototype, John Cena, who debuted on SmackDown 15 years ago this week when he told Kurt Angle that he had ruthless aggression. I had to shake my face the way he did it with the veins popping out and all that. John Cena, also the star of the movie The Wall. Not the Pink Floyd one, but it came out this year. It must have been in and out of theaters real quick.
It was. It was a movie that it was going to be Oscar bait, and it just did okay. It's got respectable reviews. I think it's got a 65 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Like, yeah, it's not certified fresh, but it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where John Cena is trapped by snipers behind a wall.
But it's like, hey, John Cena connects.
Yeah. No, it's good for him.
Let's have him play a soldier again.
Yeah, it came out on May 12th, and when it comes out on the internet, we'll watch and review it and see what it's and look for any clues to what's happening with our border wall in a movie about Iraq. Ruthless aggression. The prototypes for a wall. I think that's the part that's confusing. I feel like a wall has been beta tested pretty well at this point.
Do you want me to actually add anything of substance to this?
Go for it.
Some people are like, oh, we can make part of it solar.
Okay.
And we could use different, what type of fencing? How tall should it be?
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, it would be kind of great if it actually was just a giant solar wall that you could just walk through. Be like, oh, we're providing electricity for the entire area for both sides. What a wonderful idea. Yeah. Thanks.
So that's probably not going to happen.
No, but maybe.
But maybe. So we'll see if they have any prototypes done by the time we review the movie The Wall.
And this is a bipartisan podcast.
Yes.
And if you are a wrestling fan in any way, you should be against this wall simply because it's going to be a hell of a lot harder for guys to travel back and forth over the border when there's a fucking border wall.
You think you're going to get Pentagon, whatever he's calling himself now? You think you're going to get those guys at PWG? I don't think so.
You think you're going to get any of the Flippy Floppy boys that we all love from 205 Live? No, we're going to lose all of our Flippy Floppies.
All our Flippy Floppies.
And that's a bad thing.
Yeah. Don't flip-flop on Flippy Floppies, okay? Before all this stuff happened, as it usually is the case, there was other stuff that happened that I thought we were going to be talking all about. So I put a bunch of tweets of the president talking about Russia, because he tweets about Russia that there's no story there. And so then he tweeted a lot about it. Can I just read these?
Yeah. All right. Could you add brother to all of them?
Yes, I will.
Okay, thank you.
I'll try to do it in Hogan's voice. But no, basically this all happened after the Washington Post put out excellent reporting of kind of what we knew and when we knew it, of what the administration knew about the Russian meddling in the election, what measures the Obama administration tried to take, did they go far enough, did they punish Russia enough, kind of this where they left it.
So based on the time, we record the show weekly. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of the week. This is Wednesday morning. This happened last Friday afternoon. And is it fair to say that this story, as of this point, still is somewhat relevant?
I mean, it's going to be continuing to be relevant, but just no one's talking about it at this moment.
That is incredibly rare for this show.
Yeah. That's something
like continuing to impact us every single day.
Yes. It's going to continue to TNA impact us. So last week after that report came out, the Obama administration knew far in advance November 8th about election meddling by Russia. Did nothing about it. Why, brother? Since the Obama administration was told way before the 2016 election that the Russians were meddling, why no action? Focus on them, not T, brother, which I'm guessing he means Mr. T.
You mean fellow WWE Hall of Famer?
His tag partner in WrestleMania 1.
Hogan's tag partner. Yes, yeah, sorry. Yeah. I apologize. We're using too many.
Okay. Too many pronouns.
All three men are in the Hall of Fame, though, so that's another reason why I was
confused.
It's
tough to not be confused. They're so alike in so many ways. Obama administration officials said they choked when it came to acting on Russian meddling election. They didn't want to hurt Hillary, brother. Hillary Clinton colluded with the Democratic Party in order to beat crazy Bernie Sanders. Is she allowed to so collude? Unfair to Bernie, brother. It's just great. He's like, why can't I collude? You guys are colluding.
Also, that's not colluding.
That's not collusion, but it's fun that he's making it a fairness issue, that it's like, well, if they collude, I should be able to. Reason that President Obama did nothing about Russia after being notified by the CIA of meddling is that he expected Clinton would win and did not want to rock the boat. He didn't choke. He colluded or obstructed, and it did the Dems and crooked Hillary no good, brother. Real story is that President Obama did nothing after being, I mean, it's just the same thing over and over again, and it's definitely, like, not a sign of his dementia. But I do also, like, this also happened within the last week, but everyone's forgotten it. But when he, and I took it out of the outline because it's just, like, so dead of a story. Donald Trump, after hinting that he perhaps had tapes of James Comey, said he didn't have tapes of James Comey, but it was a bluff. He lied when he obstructed justice and tampered with a witness. But they were like, well, that wasn't a stupid move. And he's like, yeah. It was a stupid move, it turns out. So, so it was just I feel like if your administration is under investigation, if all your advisors are under investigation, like, just stop calling attention to it. But he really can't, because it's, once again, it's that legitimacy. If Russians meddled and it helped him win, then he's less legitimate. And so he can't, that's like a huge, like, psychological block for him.
I understand why you're saying he should stop. I don't see why he should stop.
Well, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't
exactly.
Change anything. Yeah.
He still has the belt. There's really no competition.
Yeah.
Why change the gimmick?
Yeah.
You just don't like the gimmick.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
And for the longest, for the most, the ratings today are horrible. It's the lowest he's ever been in terms of his popularity and
importance. Okay, yeah.
The AHCA, or the HCHA, sorry.
Let me see those cross tabs, and I want to see Republicans, because they're still standing by, but...
Yeah, overall, he's got the lowest ratings ever. It doesn't matter. There's no one that could take this belt.
Much like the WWE has some of the lowest TV ratings ever, but there's no competition.
Exactly.
So get ready to see the same stuff every week. There was some, you know, and as we talk about the president being a heel and a pro wrestling heel, it was a couple good examples this week of people who really get it, of why we like heels even if we boo them. There was the rapper Lil Yachty. Are you familiar with his work? Mm-hmm. He was, TMZ called him at the airport. He's wearing a Hardy Boys, Hardy Men t-shirt. And they asked him about being in WWE. Here's what he said.
Would you ever be a wrestler, dog?
Oh, man, yeah. I took a meeting with WWE.
Really?
Yeah, not too long ago.
Really?
Trying to do something.
Are they want to make you like a...
Well, not an actual character, but I'm trying to, maybe do some special appearances.
Can you wrestle? Can you squat?
I don't know. You know, the world love probably... The rap game probably let us see me get beat up, so why not do it for money?
There it is. Him, holler at Vince.
Oh, no, I'm telling you, I'm already speaking to
the So is there, like that, was the numbers not right? What can well, how can we
know,
fix this?
We had our first meeting, so you know what I'm saying? We're just trying to get things in order, you know what I'm saying? But in time, you never know, I might pop up. Really.
If you had to slide out on stage with one of the baddest dudes, anyone you could pick, who would you slide out and like tag team with?
It would be the Hardy Boys.
There it is.
Oh, it's Jeff Hardy, my favorite wrestler.
Big man.
Yeah.
Even better than The Rock.
He's not. I wouldn't say he's better, but he's my favorite.
There it is, man.
The Rock, Stone Cold gonna always be number one.
Yeah, he gets it. The rap game does not like a guy who calls himself Little Boat mumbling into a microphone, and he gets that, people want to beat me up. Why wouldn't I get paid? That's what a heel does. Like, yeah, that's the whole idea of being a heel. But the WWE gets this because they brought on the other guy that everybody is talking about being a heel, LeVar Ball, Basketball Dad.
Okay, so this is the most confusing segment of the year thus far.
Yes.
Okay, so it started out awkwardly horrible, great.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So this man's the dad of two basketball players, one of which was the second pick in the 2017 NBA draft, who's going to play for the Lakers, and they're in LA, and the other is a student athlete at UCLA.
Right.
So there's big LA connection.
And the, and WWE Raw was at Monday Raw was at the Staples Center.
Now, why is this man famous? I don't. Please explain this to so the famous, Kevin Owens of the podcast.
So he's famous because he is a heel. He's out there saying that he was a like middling college player. His sons are pretty good.
Okay.
And he's out there saying he could beat he could have beaten Michael Jordan one on one. I mean, just like great heel shit talking, but getting attention, getting heat. Would the kid get drafted second if it wasn't for like all this stuff? Would it did it hurt him? It clearly didn't hurt him because he went second. I don't know enough about basketball to see if this kid's legit and how much of this is just hype, but this guy's clearly making money and realizing that there's no such thing as bad publicity.
And the way they're making money is Big Baller Brand, BBB.
Which is his brand because their last name is Ball. So they're
which big. Is awesome.
Yes, and also, once again, Great Balls of Fire, a annual WWE event.
Once again.
Coming soon.
If you are going to Great Balls of Fire, if you are going to be in the parking lot of Great Balls of Fire, I'm assuming there's going to be a big tailgate scene there.
Oh, yeah.
Buy us all of the merchandise that says Great Balls of Fire. Send it to us. We will get you free copies of the book. That's how we're going to do this.
Such a great trade.
I want just as much Great Balls of Fire merch. Buy it the day after. I don't need it before. I don't need to wear the band t-shirt to the concert.
No, you just need it for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
Yes. So this segment was just a mess. Some of it is on YouTube. Not all of it. But LeVar.
So I was watching this live.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Which is incredibly rare for me.
Yeah.
And I was even confused then.
Yeah, so LeVar Ball ran out like a man who had just been grafted new legs.
Slash fell John Cena.
Fell into the ring. At one point, he took his shirt off and was kind of taekwondoing around The Miz until Dean Ambrose came out to like try to end this abortion of a segment, at which point LeVar Ball's younger son... Should we play it?
No, I mean...
Yeah, he just said a racial slur. He said to beat that fella's ass twice onto a hot mic, except he didn't say fella. And
that's how you realize Dean Ambrose is only on the fringe of lunacy, and even he was like, okay.
Oh, yeah, we got to move past that. So, as intended, this got the WWE coverage, legitimate press coverage, for the wrong reasons. Much like Donald Trump, it gets covered for the wrong reasons, but it's fine. They're fine with it. You take the good with the bad, and they know there's no such thing as bad publicity, especially if you're a heel.
There's so many things I want to connect to this segment, but I won't. All I'll say is my favorite part of the entire segment was Dean Ambrose saying, I'm wearing a Big Baller Brand shirt because I love free t-shirts.
Yeah, he clearly does because he's got to cut the arms off and just wear a free t-shirt. Big Baller Brand, the inspiration for a WWE storyline, the Titus brand, which happened later in the show, which is like, do you guys want some RC Cola after you've had some Pepsi or some Coke? It's like, no. We just
number
had the
one,
raw thing.
Don't say that Royal Crown Cola is great.
What is it, from the Midwest?
Yes, fuck you.
Is it some pop?
Fuck Pepsi. Royal Crown. RC, baby.
Also, I don't know why the first thing I said was, you just had some Pepsi. Like, you should be happy
with
CM that.
CM Punk on the brain. It's been 6 years since the pipe bomb.
Yeah, did you see my Pepsi logo tattoo at Halloween? But despite this historically bad
segment...
You're an
adult man.
Yeah. What, are you not going to make a tattoo with magic markers for Halloween? Come on. Get it together. Grow up, Brandon. Despite that segment, Raw was good. And they did it by doing the same things over again that we've seen before. But it worked somehow. Mm-hmm. Braun Strowman, once again, beat the crap out of Roman Reigns and threw him in an ambulance.
I brought this up a few times on social media. When are they going to sell the Braun action pack with an ambulance?
Yeah, that's going to happen.
That's going to be so, like, yeah. That's reasons where you're like, I kind of want to have a kid, because then I could buy that and they could smash the two together.
Once again, Brandon, have you ever bought wrestling action figures?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
For so you as gifts.
And you have one. You have some. You
have
your,
I do. I have two. I have two in my house. My
you have
Mexican
your flippy floppy guy.
He is not flippy floppy. He's a big fat man.
He's
I love
floppy,
him.
He's just floppy,
yeah. Yeah. No, I have him and Piper.
Right, yeah. So
yeah,
you can have toys.
No, but they're the classic Todd McFarlane cool ones. They're
oh,
for
okay,
adults.
Cool. They're the adult toys, which is something else. They sell those. Those are the New Day unicorn horns. So Brown Strong Man. What?
Big strong man.
His name is Braun Strowman. He wears brown. He's a Braun Strowman.
Okay.
It's not. Don't make it a race thing, Brandon. That's going to be a fun match at Great Balls of Fire when Roman puts Braun Strowman in an ambulance, because he's clearly going to. Roman has to. Have you noticed this? And this is a meta thing about WWE on Raw especially, how there's, even on tag teams, there's no more faces because they're the only face is Roman Reigns, and you have to cheer him because literally they've run out of teams for the heels to face.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, hear me out.
Yeah.
Let's just fantasy book this really quick. Clearly, Roman wins. We can't.
No, he's got to keep
the sky is blue, grass is green.
Yeah.
Breathe there.
This is his. Well, his yard is green.
Does Braun lose, but then pops out of the ceiling of the ambulance and throws Roman through the windshield?
That could be good. I'd like to see him, like, yeah, pop out the side of the ambulance, like, punch through metal and say, "I'm not finished with you yet, boy."
Yeah. And for the first and definitely not last time, what's the Republican plan called? The AHCA or the ACHA?
ACHA, but now it's the BCRA, isn't it?
The BCRA, the Broken Skull Ranch. Close.
Close.
Every time Braun screams near an ambulance, that's the American healthcare system.
Yeah. Just, I want all the GIFs of him flipping ambulances, popping out of ambulances, raising his arms, and screaming his own name. That's American healthcare. That wasn't the only angle they redid. They also redid the Enzo and Big Cass. And once again, you didn't like the show.
No, I loved it so much.
Okay,
it made
so
me sad.
Enzo, you know, who cried on command last week, did another great promo of like how their brothers, and Cass was like, "Yeah, I'm so sorry." They hugged it out. They did their catchphrase, and then he immediately clotheslined Enzo and gorilla press slammed him down the ramp, because that's what you can do to a tiny man like Enzo. And they got the audience again, and it's great. And they did the same thing, and I hope every week he comes out and he's like, "Oh, I'm so sorry, Enzo. These last 18 weeks have been very disappointing for me and my family." And then he like punches him in the Great Balls of Fire.
So this might be the best rating right now in the entire show, because it ends with, not that, but it ends with the big boy threatening an announcer.
Yeah.
Because it seems like, oh, the announcer is kind of making him do this. Maybe next week they'll be best friends again. It's brilliant.
Yeah. That announcer who has a non-contact contract, because he will break because of too many concussions. Also, Samoa Joe is... once again, a guy who's definitely going to lose, Great Balls of Fire, but is looking like a real threat. His segment with Paulie was amazing, where Paul Heyman is cutting a promo backstage, and Joe kind of throws the coquina clutch, which was like a sleeper hold on him. He goes, no, I'm just kidding. That's for later. That's for another guy.
Real quick aside here, is it just me, or is Samoan? How does Roman Reigns say it?
That Samoan guy, I don't know his name. He says it real cool like that.
It's cool, it says yard.
Yeah.
He doesn't act like he's on WWE programming. He's speaking like he's on old school WWF or NWA or whatever programming, where the mics don't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
And this reminds me way more of when they would do promos outside of the arena.
Yeah.
And it would just be weird, like snuff film type stuff. It's like the Four Horsemen going to break somebody's leg, or Roddy Piper's hanging himself for apparent reason.
In the public park.
Just traumatizing children. But that's what this reminds me of, which is great, because it's giving us something familiar but different.
Yes.
What an observation.
What an observation. But that's what we're getting week after week in WWE programming, week after week from coverage of politics. But yeah, and then he choked out big strong man Brock Lesnar.
Which looked fantastic.
Lesnar sold. He held his breath. He turned purple.
It was great.
He went from like pale ass white to a grape. It was good. That'll be a good match if Brock wants to work and they have a good match.
It's going to be the best match of the year. It's called Great Balls of Fire.
Everything on the card will be great, including the women's match, because, as we said earlier, perhaps in response to GLOW and people talking about women's wrestling this week, both shows were headlined by the women. There was a gauntlet match where Nia Jax squashed four people in a row and then had a hell of a 15-minute match with probably their best match, and they've had a bunch. Her best match was Sasha, which Sasha won, and then she cried again because she's number one contender, and Kurt Angle came out. I don't know why they keep doing that, but she's a face now. And then she drop kicked Alexa Bliss, and they'll have a good match, and hopefully blow it off at SummerSlam.
Why don't they do more gauntlet matches? Do you know?
No.
Okay. I just like the format a
lot. I think it probably because it takes, even if you do the four squashes, that segment took a half hour, and they don't.
Yeah.
They never have a half hour of wrestling in a row.
But you're interested the entire time.
Yeah.
And you could do like the 1 minute Emma thing. You could do the 15 minute Sasha Banks thing. I'm just wondering.
It's just too much wrestling for the wrestling show.
Okay.
Yeah. They don't like wrestling. That's it's fake shit. and on the A show, we also had the same thing you've seen before, a women's match where Lana lost again. I think they're doing the whole thing they just did with Sasha and Alicia where Lana's shoulder was up, and they're going to keep replaying that angle. They redid the women's Money in the Bank match, and it was a really good match. It was the match they should have had last time, even though I like the heat they got. Same results. Everyone took some bumps. James Ellsworth might be the most talented guy they have. He might be the best, other than Samoa Joe. His acting as this character, I'm really surprised at how good it is, of how much of a dick and how much heat he gets.
No, he's great. I'm not complaining, but calm down. We're getting to the face of America, gentlemen.
I understand. But he also was on a ladder, and then a lady pushed the ladder, and then he landed right on his groin on the top rope, which is like the football into the groin of wrestling, and it's so satisfying. And I'm really looking forward to Becky Lynch and James Ellsworth Hell in a Cell match. Yeah, book it. but this episode, it wasn't a great episode of the A-Show because it's just getting ready for next week, which is the 4th of July. We're having an Independence Day Battle Royale. John Cena's coming back. In their next pay-per-view, there's going to be a Punjabi prison match.
Speaking of Punjabi prison match, we could finally play my second favorite recurring segment of the week. Alternative facts are still real to me.
Alternative facts are
still real to me, damn it!
Jinder Mahal's Canadian.
Okay. His heritage. His family, they all were in Punjabi prisons. I don't know, dude. I don't know how to. This is a. It's a.
The Canadian Parliament said, that's our guy.
That's our guy.
Not since Bret Hart has someone from this province. Province?
Yeah.
One. They're in a Punjabi prison match.
Yeah, it's his heritage, not hate. It's a Punjabi prison match. It's steel-enforced bamboo. It's two cages. There's weapons in it. There's been two of these. This is the third one. It's a historically bad gimmick match. And they did it because they had a guy who was like 8 feet tall and couldn't move his joints, and they needed some way to round that. These guys can both move their joints. Let's see if they have a good match. I want to see the little Singh brothers get RKO'd off the top of the Punjabi prison. But the A show was followed by the A-plus show, Talking Smack. Daniel Bryan's back. Kevin Owens was there. It was great.
Oh, Kevin Owens, just come on. He's the best.
Kevin Owens, the best heel. Using logic and going, how are you still giving opportunities to people I've beat? They had their opportunities. Stop giving them opportunities. I beat them. You can go to my Twitter and look at his new shirt, which I'll be buying. What do you wear, a large? Because I'll get you. I'm getting you.
We're waiting until it's like 2-for-1, though, right? This is an evergreen shirt. We're going to be able to wear this forever.
It's ever red, white, and blue, baby.
So here's my only issue with Talking Smack. It's Dave Meltzer rates things.
Mm-hmm.
5 stars. We rate Talking Smacks here.
Yeah.
Every time I'm like, this is going to be a 5-star Talking Smack, there's always one segment that's a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah.
This week was the Usos.
See, I didn't mind the Usos because I
didn't mind them
rap.
Either, but considering how great that Kevin Owens segment was, considering how great Carmella was. By the way, who's going to look at Carmella and Big Cass Alonso a year ago and be like, she's the one that's going to be on
top.
She's
the breakout star. She's Mrs. Money in the Bank.
Come on.
Yeah, no, she's really doing great work. The Usos, considering the Usos wrapped with Daniel Bryan, it was still a good episode. But Kevin Owens is just the best. He's the best heel. He's doing what good heels do. He lives that gimmick. He's back on Twitter, and if you say something about him, he'll look at your tweets and your photo and just savage you.
If he's got like 20 followers, it's just incredibly mean.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He will just
he's
he
the best.
Punches down, because that's what good heels do. And yeah, I think if that's the thing with a good heel is they have logic, and that's the part where it's tough for me because like the Republicans and Trump, and you probably disagree, but like I don't always see the logic, and so I don't think they're as good at heels as they could be.
I always see the logic for Trump,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not lying.
Yeah,
it's incredibly clear what he wants and what he believes in. You don't like it, that's fine.
Sure,
but no one else is able to do that.
Yeah, and
to run against him, to beat him, is incredibly easy. You just have to have a more real gimmick. I know that sounds silly.
Yeah.
You just got to be real, be yourself. But it's true.
You just got to be yourself to 11, like they all say about the gimmicks.
Speaking of gimmicks, we're going to end the show with an interview with the progressive liberal, Dan Richards.
That's great.
He's wrestling out of Kentucky, and Deadspin wrote an article about him. Is it yesterday?
I think 2 days ago.
On Monday, yeah. All right, here's our chat with the progressive liberal, Dan Richards.
Why are you doing this? Not the gimmick. I understand the gimmick. The gimmick is brilliant. But why wrestle at this point? Because you're not a spring chicken. I'm not calling you old, but you're not the youngest man in the card. But you also have a real adult job. It's not like you have to do this.
Well, I mean, I think the... You know, it used to be when people asked me, why do you love this or why do you do it? It's like I try to come up with, like, I mean, I can give you reasons. But at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know. I just love it. Like, I just enjoy it. And I just think that's almost like a commonality of things we're passionate about. Like, you can name stuff, but at the end of the day, it's like, what doing it or, you know, the feeling it creates for you. There, but if you really break it down, why on earth would I show my skinny ass legs, you know, and wear trunks and tall boots and, you know, and roll around with men? And like, in just in its principle, and perform, you know, if you just break it down, it's like, can't rationalize it. It's just at the end of the day, you just love it and enjoy it. And, you know, I like making a connection, you know, whether good or bad. And obviously right now are very, very, very bad. And, with fans and, you know, just, I enjoy the hell of it. And also, you know, back to the age thing, most people think I'm a lot younger than I am, but you know, the only things I feel very young in general, except for my knees are really shot.
Get off the treadmill, man. Get on the elliptical.
No, the elliptical is actually bad for me. It's the I ride the bike. I do the treadmill. You know, incline. That helps me.
So you've been wrestling, is it fair to say, since you were probably like 20?
23.
So you've been wrestling
since Rattle College.
So you've been doing this for 13 years. That means you've dealt with 13 years of crowds. You know you're going to get heat if you're playing a liberal, but your politics are liberal, which brings me back to the last question. Is it enjoyable for you to wrestle with a lot of guys and in front of a lot of audience members that if you talked about politics, you might start an actual fight?
Yeah, I've never been afraid of that. I probably should be, but I'm not. I've had in the SI article and Deadspin as well, the follow-up they did, I told them about a time where I was talking about taking people's guns away, and the guy was, this is at a volunteer fire department, the guy was carrying a pistol on his right hip in a holster and started rubbing that bad boy and pointing to it and pointing to us. And we went another direction at that point. So it's just, but I'm not afraid. I've had threats of gun violence if I show up to towns, and I'm just not afraid of it. And I'm not afraid of, I'm just not afraid of a fight. I mean, just not.
Here's the beauty of what you're doing. You're getting like 1980 Piper in L.A., playing La Cucaracha on bagpipes and saying it's the Mexican national anthem. Like, that's the kind of heat you're getting where he's actually been shot at and actually been stabbed. And it's beautiful because you don't see a lot of this anymore.
Well, I think the difference between us and, like, WWE, we keep it family friendly, but we're not afraid to get heat because, I mean, we have sponsors too, but I guess maybe, you know, not as much writing on it in a way. No disrespect to our sponsors. It's just, you know, it's not a multi-million dollar contract or whatever they get with their sponsors. You know, we don't have to go by the philosophy of putting smiles on people's faces. We don't have to worry about offending anybody. So we're not going to go to religion ever, but, you know, we will go to politics because it generates real emotion. And, you know, again, we're not going to get kicked off, you know, a network. And we are, we're approaching getting a TV, Saturday morning TV spot with Channel 57 there, which is going to be really good for us because that'll expand our outreach in that area. But, you know, they already understand what, you know, what I do, and they're, you know, they just don't. The only thing I'm told not to go too hard on is Cole, which might be difficult.
Oh,
for me, but
which you mentioned, I watched the most recent episode. Yeah, you go in on Cole. You,
yeah, no, I mean, we're not with them yet. And like, but, I guess I might not be able to say that if we're with them today.
So, the only person that's doing anything remotely like this is Sam Adonis, and he's currently in Mexico City and he's a pro Trump guy. But, AAA is a lot more cartoonish and fun and literally family, way more family friendly than this. Not saying that this isn't family friendly, but that is literally trying to do something for the kids. Now, this is a dream matchup, is Sam Adonis versus the progressive liberal. Has there been any discussion about this?
I put it out to anyone who can hear this. I want to do that match. The time is more right than ever. And I'll do it anywhere.
I mean, this isn't
me cutting a wrestling interview. I'll let someone, just someone make it happen. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, our end, their, his end, or a medium in between. Let's do it.
Why do you think more wrestling fans don't wear their politics on their sleeves?
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Cause I conceptualize doing this, you know, which again, it's just an outward extension of me, you know, turned up. I mean, I thought of it long before I did it. Like I would say a couple years before. And I was like, well, surely someone's done it. Someone's doing it somewhere. And we had some, you know, guy, you know, message page, be like, hey, you stole my gimmick, some dude in Mississippi, or, you know, things like that. But it's like, well, whatever. Deadspin didn't pick up your story. So, I mean, it's just, yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I guess, you know, I guess it's because of how our society is. On two accounts. One, what's the old saying? The old saying is, you know, at the dinner table, you don't talk about politics or religion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of ingrained in us. And then on top of that, I don't know. I just think people don't want to go there.
See, I understand why you say that, but I can't completely agree because there has been political type of stuff that touches upon these subjects. And we've definitely touched with God. Vince McMahon literally wrestled God in 2006. That's not that long ago. So it's not like these topics don't come up. It just seems like
he's literally built to wrestle God.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. God was a no-show, but that's that he was built
he no-showed the promotion.
But it seems like there's money to be made, but people are a little bit too afraid to offend either side.
Yeah, well, I don't think you can do that because we're supposed to create emotion. So, what have you? You know, it's I'm not afraid to do it. I'm not afraid of heat. I'm not afraid of real white hot heat. And you know, so whatever. I don't know why. I'm amazed that maybe I wasn't the first, maybe I was, in terms of, but, you know, with this particular thread of that, but I don't know, man. I don't know why.
My co-host and I wrote a book about how Trump is a wrestler, and we get a lot of laughs from people that are liberals and progressive liberals. You are the progressive liberal. What do you think Trump is doing using wrestling logic better than any Democrat, than any progressive?
Well, I think more so, more is campaign, okay?
Okay.
That applied. So I looked at him throughout that entire time as, like, he is a heel that does not care. Like, he's not, you know, he says it, he may or may not believe it, but mm-hmm. he can convince people, particularly his base, that he does. And the people that support him are, you know, if we're going to use wrestling speak here, are the heel marks. So they're, you know, they're eating it up. He's a cool heel to them. They love, and they, because he feels like he's saying things that, you know, that they're afraid to say.
Sure.
AKA, you know, I mean, he's a voice for their bigotry and their small-mindedness and all the other stupid thoughts that go through their head. So that's just such an outlet for him. I just in the way that, like, Steve Austin was, you know, what thing people used to say about Steve Austin during his run is like, yeah, here's a guy who, you know, flips the bird to his boss and kicks his boss's ass and doesn't take any shit from anybody. And people identified with that because it was an outlet for him. Because probably most of our lives, we've all had a boss that we wanted to kick their ass or didn't like or care for. And so, you know, it was very, you know, no pun intended, liberating to watch that and live vicariously through that. I think it was just a, you know, same psychology, different channel through Trump with his people.
How does the Democratic Party take that lesson and run with it? Is it possible to run as that and win on the other side?
You can't pretend to be. There's no Democrat that's like Donald Trump, you know, or at the heart of it. Okay, so this is what I've said in a few of my interviews, and I can't repeat enough. If, like, there's one message like that I could get from this, and Bill Maher said this a lot too, and Bill, if you're listening or your producer's listening, please call me. I really want to be on Real Time with Bill Maher, above all else. But so I think Democrats need to take the page from Donald Trump and Republicans in general, but Trump to, like, a whole nother degree. He is unapologetic about who he is, what he thinks, and what he believes. And I think the mistake Democrats make is being too apologetic. And, you know, Republicans have a take no prisoners attitude. Democrats, not so much. They, you know, so here's the best example. Post came out with a story recently. I'm not going to get too deep into it, but they came out with a story, you know, that Obama knew about the hacking going on. But one reason he was afraid to announce it was because at that point, you know, Trump had already been saying the stuff about being rigged, and they were afraid that if they announced that, that would make it look like they're spinning the rhetoric and they'd be saying that because they're partial to Hillary. Republicans would not give a shit about that. They do not care about public perception. They have their plan. They want to go forward on. I mean, and they're just not worried about what people think other than their base. And they feel like if their base comes out and votes and votes strong, and you know, that's something Democrats need to improve on too. So they've got to just convince their base and maybe a few other people, and then they've got it. So, but I mean, people are attracted to confidence. And so when you say what you mean, and no matter how unpopular it might be, you know, you're going to get more people on board that way.
I think that's a perfect way to end it. So this Friday is probably the biggest match you'll have thus far of 2017.
I would say.
Okay. Where is the match? Where can people buy tickets? All that good stuff.
Okay. We're in Campton, Kentucky at Wolf County High School. If you're local to the area, I know the Little League team that's getting a portion of the proceeds, they're selling advance tickets. You can also go to Appalachian Mountain Wrestling on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook and contact us through the site. You can get tickets through there as well, I believe. 7:30 this Friday, June 30th, Kempton, Kentucky, Wolf County High School. I know at this point Deadspin's going to be there. BBC America is going to be there. We've got local television interviews lined up, and only time will tell who else is going to be there.
And people could find you on Facebook at?
P as in progressive, L as in liberal, Daniel Richards. It's either Dan or Daniel Richards. My
it's Daniel,
on that.
By the way. It's Daniel.
Yeah, or you can just do a keyword search. Oh, okay, P.O. Daniel Richards. Or you can just, you know, type in progressive liberal Daniel Richards. I'm sure something will come up about me, especially now. On Twitter, it's at progresslib804. That's the Richmond area code, for those of you who don't know.
I could not find the Twitter earlier, so I'm glad that you mentioned that.
Yeah, progresslib804.
Brilliant. We need to boost your followers. This is I want to see the Sam Adonis match. I want you to barnstorm cities, and in the cities, you're clearly the face, and vice versa in other places. And I understand that a lot of people are saying that regardless of where you wrestle, you're a heel, but you're not that far from D.C., and you realize like 92% of D.C. voted not for Trump, and 93% of Chicago voted not for Trump. Why can't you wrestle there as a face? Maybe where you are.
Oh,
heel.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, we recognize that. The like, if I went to California, you know, that's probably the greatest extreme. You know, I'm a babyface, but where I'm wrestling right now, there's the people. If there are people that will cheer me, I did have a fan ask, like, can I cheer you, or am I going to get like punched in the face? I mean, I got that message yesterday. And so, I mean, the point, what that speaks to is there are people that probably do come there. They're closet liberals in this part of the country. And, you know, if they're cheering for me on the inside, probably not openly.
Well, I think what you're doing is wonderful and needed, and it's getting big. And it's awesome to see this as someone that doesn't necessarily feel always at home at a wrestling show. We need more guys like you out there, maybe tipping the scales towards the other way. So good luck with everything. People should follow you at @progresslib804. Follow him on Facebook, /PL Daniel Richards. Daniel, thank you so much for doing this, and good luck with everything.
Brandon, thanks so much for calling me. Thanks for the time. I really appreciate it, and appreciate you reaching out to the wrestling base and getting my name out there. Thanks
Hell yeah.
So much.